enzyme treatments that would turn his skin golden. That's for kids, he thought. I'll stay a pasty-faced old fart. His years aboard Goddard had taught him not to expect a throng of curious onlookers. The inhabitants of this community were a strange lot, largely aloof to politics. No, Berkowitz reminded himself, they're not aloof. They're wary, suspicious of politics and politicians and everything that goes with them. Most of them had been exiled by their home countries one way or another. They were aboard Goddard because their fundamentalist regimes at home had no use for them. Berkowitz himself had come out to Saturn willingly, at the request of Professor Wilmot, when the professor was organizing this permanent expedition, retired after a lifetime in the news media business. Bereft by the death of his wife, he had gladly accepted the chance to get as far away from his memories as he could. Sure enough, the theater was practically empty. A few onlookers with nothing better to do were scattered among the otherwise empty seats. They merely made the place look emptier. Up on the stage, the official registrar sat behind a long table, bare except for the laptop computer opened in front of him. Berkowitz had expected the chief of human resources, Holly Lane, to serve as the registrar, but apparently she had sent an underling. Holly's a lot more photogenic than this young non-entity, he thought. 10 a.m. was the official opening time for citizens who wished to register as candidates for election to the Habitat's post of chief administrator. It was now nearly 11 and no candidates had shown up. No matter, Berkowitz thought. Eberle will be here sooner or later, and he'll unquestionably bring an entourage with him. With tight camera angles, good interview questions, and some judicious editing, I'll make this the media event of the young year on this evening's news broadcast. He was mildly surprised when Holly Lane appeared at the back of the theater and strode boldly down the center aisle. Has she come to replace the guy behind the desk? It's her job as head of human resources to serve as registrar. Maybe she was busy on something else and couldn't get to it until now, Berkowitz thought. Good morning, he called to Holly as she climbed the stairs at one end of the stage. Hello, Zeke, said Holly with a wave of her hand. She was wearing not her usual dull tunic and slacks, but a brightly flowered short-skirted dress. Pretty young woman, Berkowitz thought. Nice legs. Holly marched straight to the registrar and said, I want to register as a candidate. The man behind the table, 30-ish, round-faced, had looked pretty bored up until that moment. His brows shot up and he squeaked, You?
Yep.
Me. Berkowitz raced from his post at one end of the stage to the table.
Hey, no, wait a minute. We've got to do this over. I wasn't expecting...
Holly laughed at his suddenly flustered expression. You weren't expecting me to throw my name in the mix? Grinning back at her, Berkowitz said, The expression is throw my hat in the ring, and no, I wasn't expecting it. This is news. We've got to stage it right. Holly allowed him to direct her. Berkowitz had her go back halfway down the aisle and, after adjusting the camera angles, cued her to walk up onto the stage once more. She strode to the table purposively and announced in a clear, firm voice, I want to register as a candidate for chief administrator. It was now precisely 11 a.m., and at that moment the double doors at the rear of the theater swung open again, and Malcolm Eberle marched in, followed by exactly a dozen men and women. He was smiling confidently as he started up the aisle.
No, wait! Berkowitz yelled from the stage. We're not finished here yet!
Eberle slowed and stopped, his smile dwindling as he recognized who was at the registrar's table. Holly? He yelped.
Be with you in a minute, Holly answered.
Let me finish with her, Berkowitz called to him. Then we'll get you entering through the doors. Eberle's face darkened as he stood with folded arms in the middle of the theater amidst his entourage, while Berkowitz videoed Holly giving her name to the registrar and his pulling up her dossier on his computer. You are now officially registered as a candidate for the office of chief administrator, said the registrar in an overly loud voice, obviously aware of the cameras. Good luck to you.
Thanks, said Holly, smiling sweetly.
I'm gonna need it.
Okay,
Berkowitz called down to Eberle while he pecked at his handheld remote to reposition the cameras. Go back to the doors and come in again. "This is going to be great," Berkowitz exulted silently, as Eberle re-entered the theater, his most dazzling smile firmly in place. "We're actually going to have a race for the election. Holly Lane's running against her own boss." 4 minutes later, with Eberle's registration safely recorded, Berkowitz beckoned the two candidates toward him. "I need to ask you a few questions," he told them. "Why you're running, what you hope to accomplish, that sort of thing. Mr. Eberle, you first."
"I'm running for re-election because I believe the people of this habitat need and deserve a man with experience. I think I've shown over the past year that I can run the office efficiently, fairly, and to the betterment of all our people." Somehow, Eberle managed to smile and look serious at the same time.
"And what will be your number one priority if you are re-elected?" Berkowitz asked.
Eberle's smile brightened. "I believe that the path to wealth and a successful future for the people of this habitat lies in mining the rings of Saturn for their abundant supply of water ice. Water is the most precious commodity in the solar system, and we can become the prime supplier of water for the human settlements on the Moon, Mars, the asteroid belt, and the research stations elsewhere in the solar system.
Despite the reservations voiced by our own scientists and others," Berkowitz prodded,
"our people should and must decide their own fate," Eberle said, his voice firm and strong. "We should not allow earthbound bureaucrats or unrealistic scientists to restrict our freedoms."
Berkowitz turned to Holly, standing beside Eberle. He noted that she was slightly taller than Eberle, which would show clearly in a video two-shot.
"And Ms. Lane, why have you decided to oppose Mr. Eberle?"
Holly stumbled. "Well, it's not... I mean, there's nothing personal involved. I just think that Malcolm's ignoring a problem that's incredibly important."
"What problem?"
"Population growth," she replied immediately. "Our people are living under the zero growth protocol. That's got to change sooner or later. Probably sooner."
"But with our limited resources," Berkowitz began.
Holly cut him short. "This habitat can support 5 times our current population easily. What we've got to do is work out a way to allow population growth within the limits of our resources. I think we're smart enough to figure out how to do that."
"Do you have a plan for allowing population growth?"
"No, sir, I surely don't. But we need to get our best minds together to work on this problem. Even ask for advice from Earth if we need to. There's lots of people on Earth who've dealt with population growth issues."
"Without much success," Eberle interjected.
"We can't ask the people of this habitat to keep on the way we've been. It's inhuman. People want to have babies."
"Women want to have babies," Eberle countered.
"So do men,"
Holly jabbed back. "Normal men."
Before Eberle could reply, Berkowitz physically pushed in between them.
"I can see that this is going to be an exciting race. Can you both agree to having one or more formal debates on these issues?"
"Certainly," Eberle snapped.
Holly nodded less assuredly.
"I guess."
"Good. I'll meet with you individually to arrange the details. For now, would you kindly shake hands for the camera?"
Holly stuck her hand out, and Eberle took it in a lukewarm grip.
"May the best man win," Eberle said, looking straight into the nearest camera.
"May the better person win," Holly corrected. Edouard Urbain ignored registration day. He did not watch the news broadcast that evening that showed the interviews with the two candidates. He didn't even know that Holly Lane had registered in opposition to Malcolm Eberle. The last one of his satellites had been successfully inserted into a low polar orbit around Titan, and Urbain had no time for anything except to search for his wandering Alpha. One of the satellites had malfunctioned at launch from the habitat. Its guidance system had evidently been misprogrammed. Instead of heading for an orbit around Titan, its trajectory aimed it into the moon's thick atmosphere. Urbain had gone into a frenzy, terrified that the satellite would crash on Titan's surface and contaminate the biosphere. His mission controllers, though, fired the satellite's maneuvering thrusters and sent it into a long, looping trajectory that passed Titan safely and swung it into a course that would ultimately impact high in Saturn's northern hemisphere, safely away from any possible contamination of Titan. 11 satellites in low orbit to scour the moon's surface in search of the lost rover. Urbain spent night and day in the mission control center.